I hope you've enjoyed the last couple of Wednesdays on prayer and being who I am. I wanted to finish up with a triple message on prayer. So I want to talk about the prayer of thanksgiving tonight. I want to know we're entering the Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's kind of sandwiched between Halloween and Christmas, you know. Everybody celebrates getting dressed up like demons and then thanks God for all the gifts.
Yeah.
We forget the Thanksgiving in between, amen. And I determined not to do that this year, so I've been doing a lot of thanking God. So it's just been good. I'm thanking God for Washington getting brains now. You know, a lot of people
glory.
Need a brain transplant, so God's going to answer that prayer, amen.
Right.
But you know, it occurred to me today as I was thinking about the prayer that we ought to pray, if we come from a position of thanking God before we see the manifestation of the answer, that's maturity.
Yes.
That's maturity in God, to pray as if the prayer has already been answered before it's actually answered. Come on, someone.
Yes.
Because what we do sometimes is we pray and ask God to do it, and then the next time we pray and ask God to do it, and then the next time we pray, God, do it, instead of saying, thank you for doing it, God. Thank you for it already being done, Lord.
Yes.
Come on, someone.
Thank you for healing me.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we ought to stand in that way. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for just ministering to us tonight, Lord, as we share, and Lord, as we preach your word, Father, that you would make it so real to us. God, that 2020 would be a year of fulfilled promises. God, as we look forward, God, we need revival so much in this nation. God, we believe and we thank you for revival. We thank you for changing the atmosphere. We thank you for visiting your church once again. Thank you for making the bride beautiful again.
Yes.
Thank you, God, for your promises that are yes and your promises that are amen in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak.
Hallelujah.
Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Listen to what the apostle says. The apostle saying, but of course, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, I believed and therefore I spoke.
Yep.
Faith says, I'll believe it. When I believe it, I'll see it. Not when I see it, I'll believe it.
Right.
We speak words of faith because that's what God asks us to move in. You know, thanksgiving means, is Eucharist, that's where we get our Eucharist when we take the Holy Communion, the Eucharist, means gratitude, actively grateful language, in an active worship to God. Mm-hmm. So we're grateful for all the things that he's already promised that are ours.
Yes.
It may be a while before the promise comes to pass. I don't know why God does that. People have asked me, I've had long conversations with men much smarter than me, why does God wait till the last minute or even what seems like past the last minute to answer prayer? I don't know. But I know that prayer is already answered before it comes.
That's right.
Come on, someone. The kind of thanksgiving we have, it's eternal in nature. It is a voice that recognizes the eternal and uses that in the temporal. We recognize that prayers are answered, those things that sustain us that were always promised for us. Mm-hmm. It sustains us that we believe God for an answer. We have the distinct pleasure of serving a God that has supplied all things needed in this life.
Hallelujah.
He has supplied to us, past tense, everything that we need. Our only recourse then is to live a life of thanksgiving.
That's right.
Faith says, God, it's going to happen, and then we live like it's going to happen.
That's right.
All concern, Peter says, casting all our care on him, for he cares for us. Prayers that are filled with thanksgiving birth a life that is filled with contentment. We're content in everything that God has for us. Listen to what 1 Timothy 6 says. It says, useless wranglings of men and of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourselves. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these things we shall be content. You know, we need to thank God for what He's done and what He's about to do. God is always going to supply for us because we're His children. I was talking with Brandon about this today. You know, if my son called right now and said he needed me, I wouldn't even say goodbye to you guys. I'd be in my car and gone. If I need you now, I'd be gone. Come on, somebody. How many feel that way about their children? And if my granddaughter would call, forget about it. Be out of here. How much more does God promise not only to take care of us, that He will take care of us whatever we face tomorrow?
Yeah. Yes.
So we're already thanking Him for the provision He's going to give us.
Hallelujah.
Let your conduct, in Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, what's that mean? It means exactly what it said. I'll never leave nor forsake you. He's always going to be there. Come on, somebody. He's always going to be there. He's never going to be late. In the fullness of time, He'll answer. The prayers will manifest what we're praying. In the fullness of time. When they fit into our lives. And He's the only one that knows when they'll fit. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Speaking of eternal things, I was thinking about holiday fruitcakes. You know, the 10 top uses for holiday fruitcakes. How many know that fruitcakes, there's only 3 of them, and they keep being passed around the whole world. Number 10, use slices to balance that wobbly kitchen table. Number 9, use instead of sandbags during a storm. Use of set, come on. Number 8, send the U.S. Air Force and let troops drop them for bombs. Good use for a fruitcake. Use as railroad ties. Number 6, use as speed bumps to foil the neighborhood drag racers. Come on. It's a little funny. Number 5, collect 10 and use them as bowling pins. Number 4, use instead of cement shoes. Good use for fruitcakes. Number 3, save for next summer's garage sale. Gene, how about that? Number 2, use slices in the next skeet shooting competition. And number 1, 2 words, pin cushions. Fruitcakes never go away, they're always there.
Yes.
But grace is the fuel for thanksgiving. When we pray, grace is the fuel for thanksgiving. Because in Ephesians 2 it says, by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Our position is the grace of God in our lives. And of course He's going to answer prayer. Of course He's going to provide for us. Grace is the power of God to stand against the enemy. It's the strength of God to declare our freedom. And it leaves no room for boasting. We pray we're completely at God's mercy. We are what we are through Him. Come on, somebody. And we when we reach a place of boasting, we get ourselves in trouble.
Yeah.
I can't boast in myself. No matter how much knowledge I have, knowledge is not going to help me get through this life.
That's right.
No matter how much I read the Bible or pray, that's not going to get me through this life. My life is completely given to Him. If it were in works, it would be easy.
Right.
It's not in works.
Amen.
The Bible is very clear about what pleases God. Jesus pleases God. And He's in me and I'm in Him. You know, boasting has no place in our lives. Our prayers are energized by this revelation. Our salvation is a gift given, and a gift that sustain throughout our lives. We serve a God, Ephesians says, not a Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So that when we pray, all of heaven stands ready to answer, to provide, and to push us past the place of need to fulfillment. To Him be glory, verse 21 says, in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. You know, the power of God that can do more than we can imagine is working in us.
Hallelujah.
Think about that. It's not something we're reaching for. We're His family.
Hallelujah.
That is reason enough for Thanksgiving. It's working in us. Our prayers should be fueled with this igniter. We do not pray to one who might get it done. We pray to one who has already got it done.
Yes,
it's already taken care of. It's not something we're reaching out in the future for. It's something that He provided for before the world began.
Right.
He had it all planned out for us.
Yes.
I love what Jude 24 says. Jude 24, you'll see it up on the screen. Not a Him who is able, come on somebody, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the throne, before the presence of His glory, with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Watch what it said. It says that He is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us faultless before His presence. From that position, we pray. We don't pray it from a position of being outside or being left out or from the outside looking in. We're part of the family of God. Whatever we need, He's going to take care of us. Whatsoever our needs are, He'll take care of us. Look what He got us to now. I'm talking to some gray heads. Look how He's been so blessed our lives up till now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We are promised not to stumble. The grace of God allows us the power to stand, and we are faultless, perfect before His presence.
Hallelujah.
We are faultless and perfect before Him. Let me ask you a question this evening. Are you passionate about your standing in Christ? When you pray, are you passionate about where you stand in Christ? How does He do it? How can He present us perfect? And how does He promote His kingdom? It's through the perfect blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ and His position right now before the Father.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. He's seated at the right hand of power, and He is answering our prayer. When we pray, He engages heaven to agree with us. When our prayers hit heaven, Jesus is agreeing with us, and He's engaging everything in heaven to answer the prayers that we pray and to stand with us. So this prayer is not a prayer of a beggar. It's not a prayer of somebody knocking at the door of heaven, hoping that He'll answer. It's commanding things and calling things into existence because of our faith. Come on, someone. When we pray, all of heaven listens and says, you know what? I'm going to provide for this person because they're children of the living God, just as we would provide for our own children. There's a reason that we pray a prayer of thanksgiving, because He gives us everything we need. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles tonight, turn to 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9. You know, the thing is, we're praying to a God that has everything and gives us everything for nothing.
It's true.
I can't give you what I don't have. If you come and ask me right now for $1,000, I'd have to look hard. But how do we know God has everything? And when we ask Him for something, He's going to give it to us. Watch what the Word of God says here in 2 Corinthians 9. Now, may He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched, verse 11, in everything. Somebody say everything.
Everything.
While you are enriched in some things.
Everything.
Almost everything. No, it says in everything, for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God.
Thank you, Lord.
We are in a realm, we are in a kingdom that absolutely has no lack. There's no failure in the kingdom. There's no decrease in the kingdom. There's not a time, there's not an ebb and flow in the kingdom like there is in life. How many know we've been through some things where we had less than we thought we could ever have? Come on, somebody. And God supplied for us. How many have been so broke you couldn't look up? Come on, somebody. Financially, just completely, and God provided for us miraculously.
Every time.
You know why? Because God has it to give. He not only has it to give, He created it so He could give it to us. He's the God that called something out of nothing. There was nothing here when He says, let there be light. There was no light. When the earth was formed, there was no earth.
That's right.
We serve a God that is giving everything for all liberality, and it causes us, when we pray with thanksgiving, knowing the source that we were praying to. If I ask somebody, if I ask the government, if I ask my friends, if I ask my wife, if I ask family for something, they may or may not have it to give. They can agree with me and stand with me in prayer, but I'm asking the source of all giving. And He'll supply for me.
Amen.
What He asked us to sow is already provided for us. The seed that we're sowing, He gave us. Yes. We create nothing but make use of everything. Mm-hmm. We can't create anything, but we make use of everything that God has given us. What we sow is multiplied. Our righteousness is increased. We are enriched in everything, the scripture says. While you are enriched in everything, it's plotizo. It means to make wealthy. And I'm not talking just money. He makes us wealthy in all things. Come on, someone.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Knowledge, wisdom, health, sanity.
Mm-hmm.
We are rich in every area we need to be to achieve what God has always intended us to. If it is achievable, my question is, what's stopping us?
Mm-hmm.
I'm determined. You know, I was with the pastors today and we were praying. And I said, you know, I'm determined to go on the offensive. Stop being on the defensive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm determined to move forward on the offense. It feels like we've been for years defending our position.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we defending what's already been given to us by a God that created all things?
That's right.
We have no right to defend. We're in the offense. We're moving ahead. The kingdom of God is surging forward without any obstacles. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Any obstacle that comes by, what has He did? He's already removed it. My Bible says He's taken care of the enemy. Put him under His feet. Given to be all things to the church. Come on, somebody. We ought, and I'm bound and determined to do that. But what is the enemy of that prayer is when I think with this mind, this brain of mine, and I see with the fleshy eyes that I have instead of seeing spiritual.
Yeah.
We look at it and we say, you know, this can't happen. But it can happen. Lest we forget, this temporal world that we see is passing away. We are built for the eternal.
Yes.
And it will never pass away.
Yes, that's right.
Still have your Bibles, flip over to Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Mm-hmm. Go eat peaches and cream. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Watch what it says. By everything, but in everything by prayer. So it's not that we don't pray. Well, if God supplies everything, why should we pray? Because our prayer engages heaven in the answer. Heaven wants to be involved in partnership with us as we pray. and we pray with thanksgiving. That goes against the grain of our natural man. We usually say thank you when we receive. Yeah. Now we're being asked to thank before the answer comes.
Yes.
Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Why does the peace of God need to guard our heart and mind? Because we're standing, we haven't seen the manifestation of the prayer, we've got to stand in peace.
Yes.
And the devil will come right at the end of our prayer, and we say a prayer of thanksgiving. Devil comes and says, it's not going to happen. It didn't happen yesterday. It's not going to happen today. And it's never going to happen. You're praying to the wall. It's not going to happen. And we need to stand. Listen, what the scripture says. We need to stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus until the manifestation of the answer. I wonder sometimes if heaven knows what's about to happen in 2020. You know, as I'm talking to God, I say, God, do you have any idea what kind of shape we're in? And then I realize who I'm talking to. He knows what's going to take place, not only in this country, he knows what's going to take place in my life, with my wife, my family, my church, my community.
Yeah.
I rest in the fact that God knows what he's doing.
Yes, he does.
And as I pray to a God that knows what he's doing.
Yes.
Requests that have a thank you attached to them are faith requests.
Mm-hmm.
Already thanking him for the provision, for the need, for the healing, etc. God already has the answer. It is unlike an earthly request. Things have to be thought over. Applications have to be filled out. Provision has to be there. With God, they are already there, and they already are provided. Your faith separates you from the answer.
Mm-hmm.
When our faith grows, we know the answer is going to be there. Last week, we talked about David Brainerd. David Brainerd was a prayer warrior. He died at the age of 29. It was said that he would pray in a snowbank, and it would melt snow 2 feet on either side of him. He prayed through. Here's a story about him. One day, David was making a journey to visit an Indian tribe, and he was overtaken by a severe storm. He looked for a place of shelter and eventually found one in a hollow log of a very large tree. While there, he prayed for the Indians and also that the Lord would take care of him and his needs. When mealtime came and he was hungry, there was nothing to eat. He noticed a squirrel approaching the tree. The squirrel chattered a while, and when the little animal disappeared, Brainerd noticed that he had left a few nuts behind. He ate those nuts.
Wow.
3 days the storm continued, and for 3 days Brainerd remained in the log. Each day, the squirrel came to deposit some nuts at the entrance.
Wow.
David Brainerd knew that the Lord had sent that squirrel.
Wow.
I want you to know, God knows where you're at, and he's going to provide for you.
Yes.
Now you say, well, why didn't he provide a lot more? It was enough to sustain you.
That's right.
What follows our prayer is amazing. Because we ask with thanksgiving, peace accompanies the prayer, and we are taken care of until the manifestation of that prayer.
Yes.
But if you're anything like me, I push peace away. I want to stay worried because that's a godly thing to do sometimes. Because I'm engaged with the worry. Don't leave me alone up here. Well, you know, we sometimes look at being worried and anxious as being godly. Well, God, I'm going to stay up all night and worry about this. No, I've already got the answer to prayer.
Yes.
Well, it's not. I, when I first caught this thing of Thanksgiving, we were, I remember the first time a prayer was answered that I didn't think could be answered. It was a very practical thing. We were getting ready to go to Bible school, and we had a 6x12 U-Haul trailer, and we had it packed with all our earthly belongings. We didn't own anything else. The only thing that Terry wanted to take of any importance was a rocking chair so she could rock Sarah to sleep. Believe me, serenade of rocking sleep. We could start a fire with that rocking chair. It would go so fast across the wooden floor. Come on, somebody. Turn your rocking thing. So my friend and I, Daryl Morgan, packed the U-Haul, and there was no room for the chair. We just couldn't get the rocking chair in there. And so I said, what are we going to do, man? We moved stuff around, still couldn't get in there, couldn't shut the doors. And he shut the doors and said, let's pray. Began to pray, and he said, God, thank you for the room for this rocking chair for Rick and Terry to need it. We opened the door and set the rocking chair in there with plenty of room.
God,
nothing changed. Things were still the same way they were. God extended that thing a foot or something because the rocking chair sat in there. She could have sat in there on the way down. But I said, God, you're a prayer-answering God. You provide when there is no provision.
Yeah. Yes.
And I got it. It clicked in me. I said, God, you're going to supply for us. Come on, somebody. The result of prayers of thanksgiving changes our environment. It changes the things that happen around us. The results of prayers change the environment, and we walk and talk like it's changed the environment. To convey this to the unsaved is a magnet. When we begin to confess that God is a prayer-answering God, we'll attract the unbeliever.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
That's true.
Instead of always complaining, people post things on Facebook, oh, I wish God would do this, and I wish... No, God has already done it. It's a magnet for the lost. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now, Paul was writing to the church at Colossae in tremendous persecution. But he's saying, as you have received Christ, walk in him, built up in him, established in the faith, and be thankful, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Yes. We have nothing to boast on but Jesus. We have nothing to boast on. It's not how long we've been in church. It's not how much we know. It's not how many books we've read. It's about our faith in Christ. All those things are good. They're applicable. We study to show ourselves approved, a man and woman rightly dividing the word of truth. But our ultimate answer to prayer is in Christ. That's the trouble. We've got too many boasters, and things are as bad as they have ever been. We ought to start boasting in Christ and let him do what he needs to do.
Amen.
According to a story in the Grand Rapids Press, the owner of a small foreign car had begun to irritate his friends by bragging about the gas mileage he got in his car. So they decided to get back at him. So every day, one of them would sneak into the parking lot where the man kept his car during work and pour a little gasoline into the tank. So he bragged even more. He was boasting of getting as much as 90 miles per gallon. And the pranksters took secret delight in his exasperation as he tried to convince people of the truthfulness of his claims. It was even more fun to watch his reaction when they stopped filling the tank. He couldn't figure out what happened to his car. We cannot take any credit for where we are in Christ. When we do, we truncate, we ruin the answers that God wants to give us. Because he will not share his glory with us.
Yes.
He just won't do it. And watch and take aim and run from people who brag about where they are in God. There's no room for boasting or bragging. I've seen people brag about how much they know or what they have. And they gauge themselves on worldly measurements. Mm-hmm. I'm measured in Christ. Christ was successful. My only boasting is in him. I must boast in Christ and him crucified. He won it all at the cross. Yes. And he sits on the throne as an eternal King of kings and Lord of lords. The result of prayers of thanksgiving changes our environment. It changes our environment.
Yes, it
but it's because of Christ. The Bible encourages us to continue steadfast, earnestly in prayer, being diligent in it with thanksgiving. So we pray a prayer of thanksgiving because God asks us to be thankful.
Yes.
In all things, be thankful. Prayer is the platform of relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
When we pray and not complain, we've talked about it a lot, but we ask God incessantly for what we already have. Instead of asking for what we already have, God, thank you for what you've given me. Now
yes.
Teach me to use it. Teach me to employ it in my
Hallelujah.
Life, God. Thank you, you've given me health. Now
Hallelujah.
Let me exercise and walk in health.
Come Hallelujah.
On, thank you, Lord, for providing for me to pay my bill. Lord, thank you for the money already provided for me. We begin to stand as a king.
Yes.
We're king and priest to God. We're not beggars.
That's right.
Heaven has no beggars.
That's right.
Are you there?
That's right.
Only sons and daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Only sons and daughters. Prayer is the springboard to passion.
Mm-hmm.
We're passionate about the God that we serve that is able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than I could ever ask or hope for. Lost my daddy to cancer when he was 56 years old, 1980. He died at 95 pounds. And the most fearful man I ever met. He was afraid of everything. He was afraid of the dark. If it snowed out, he wouldn't drive the car. He was afraid of everything. But when he got saved, he had so much peace. The night that he died, he had so much peace. He had a passion for Jesus. He knew where he was going. He was excited. It was almost like, when somebody says they got to go, and you keep talking to them, and they're like looking at their watch, can't wait to get in the car and get out of your sight. Come on, somebody. That's what it was like talking to my dad in the last couple of days. He knew he was headed for heaven, to a place of comfort and rest and peace, to the most fearful man, the angriest man, the one of the vilest men on the face of the earth that God got a hold of and changed his life. I've never forgotten that. The passion that we have for God brings the peace that he promises.
Yes.
It's the basis for our lives. Prayer is that platform. It's the power that each believer has. As we pray, it's a power that's within us. Earnest prayer is both full of faith and full of petition. Asking with a heart of anticipation and the knowledge that we have what we ask. It's a guarantee. It's a swish every time. It's a touchdown every time. It's a victory every time. We pray, God says, I'm going to give you the answer to that prayer. Yes.
I got a word coming up here this evening. Felt the Lord saying, many of us feel like we're spinning our tires. And he says, turn on the traction control. And I got to thinking about that. You know how the traction control works? It cuts the power. So otherwise we cut our power that we're doing and let him push.
Amen. That's good. That's good stuff.
Because when we put our power in it, we overpower the tires and make them spin.
Mm-hmm.
Turn on the traction control and let God do it.
That's good stuff.
He can do it much better than I can.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You know who benefits from Thanksgiving? You.
We do.
We benefit from the life of Thanksgiving. The benefit is not God's. He's already blessed. Doesn't inch him forward at all. He's already, his throne will never move. Everything in heaven is already done. Jesus said it's finished. We're not helping God at all. We're helping us. We're helping the church moving forward in the promises that are already done in heaven. Yes.
Saw on Facebook today that quarterback, I believe from Alabama, was going for the Heisman Trophy.
Drew Brees, yeah.
And he hurt his hip. He says he gives God the glory, whether it's good or bad. Well, that's awesome when you can do that. Here, his whole life has changed, and he's still giving God the glory. Yeah. That's what we need to do, praise him and thank him at all times. Thank him on this side to see, for it's already done.
We are the recipient of the praise. That's it. I read the same thing, Drew Brees, very godly man. Revelation 7:12 says, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. All of those adjectives.
Mm-hmm. Are hallelujah.
His. Blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor,
yes.
Power, and might are his.
Yes.
We thank him. He gives us the power to overcome. He gives
yes.
us the might to walk as Christians.
Thank you.
Amen. So be it. Praise filled with faith. God, you are going to answer. I don't care how many times I've come and prayed. I know that when I pray, you hear.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
I'm already thanking you for the answer, Lord. Already thanking you for revival in Fulton County.
Yes.
Already thanking
yes.
you, Lord, for your power to come upon this nation once
yes,
again.
Okay. Yes.
Already thanking you for your answers in my body and my life.
Yes, Father.
It's recognizing the character of God. True, successful prayer focuses on God, not on us.
Yes.
True, successful prayer has nothing to do with us other than we believe in Christ and we're born again. That's the only requirement. We're his children. Our true prayer recognizes the character and the efficacy of God. He's effective to the nth degree. There's nothing that he can't do.
That's right.
And that's who we come to. I have a tree in my front yard that's ready to fall apart. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and pray, God, don't let your tree fall on us while we're sleeping. But if it fell, we'll just hit the corner of the house where our bedroom is. I'd rather not wake up with branches in my teeth. So I complained a little bit. A lady stopped by. They marked it in March, and then they came by in May and had me sign something, and never came. So I complained to this one, I complained to that one, I talked to people about it. And my neighbor is on the board, the town council. And so I talked to my neighbor and I said, when are you going to get this done? And she said, well, you know, they go along the list and blah, blah, blah. So finally, I had an epiphany on Monday, a day off, sitting at the house drinking a cup of coffee. I said, I'm going to go to the city council, go to the city hall and complain. So I went to city hall, prayed before I got there so I wasn't angry, and I was very nice, even told a couple jokes, and said, you know, get the tree cut because I want to sleep soundly, I don't want it to fall on my bed, ha ha, hearty, heart, heart. So I was with Brandon today, and Terry sent me a picture of their cutting down the tree today. What happened? I went to the source. I went to somebody that could do something about it. Instead of complaining to somebody else or speaking to somebody that's on the town council, I went to the source.
Hallelujah.
Stop complaining. Stop wondering if God is going to answer and go to the source and thank him for the answer.
Yes.
Watch how quickly.
Yes.
It may not seem quick, but watch how quickly he'll answer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pray for my children. I'm praying for my son. And I pray and I beg and I call. But now I'm saying, God, whatever it takes, let's have an encounter, just you and my son. Because my son's not going to, he's a Thomas. He doesn't want to hear about something. He wants to see it. He sees it, he believes it.
Yes.
So I said, God, just meet him face to face. I'm already thanking him for my son coming back to him.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We recognize our focus is on the character of God, not on our failures, our incompleteness. We're being changed from glory to glory. There's an act of sanctification that's happening. I'm not the man I was. I'm not the man I'm going to be. God is constantly working on me. But guess what? There's nothing needed to be added to the throne. There's nothing needed to be added to the king that I'm praying to. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever.
Hallelujah.
So the language of our prayers needs to change. It's thanksgiving as an act of worship. As an act of faith that goes far beyond all the problems that we may be facing or think we might face. It's a grateful language as an act of worship. Father, thank you already. I know that you're going to answer.
Yes.
I know that it's already answered.
Yes.
Yes.
Esteem of the highest degree. No one above him. There's no place that we need to go. There's nobody that he needs to check with to make sure he can provide.
That's right.
God's not saying, let me get back to you, see if I can provide you, see if I can cobble together something to provide for you. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills.
Yes, he does.
He has everything in his eye.
Amen.
Miraculous power, it all belongs to him. All we do is borrow it, yes.
1 Timothy what?
1:17.
Thank you.
1 Timothy 1:17. He already has everything that we need.
Hallelujah.
I brought a pastor up from Mexico years ago, and he came from a small village out of Saltillo. And I got a headache when I was there visiting him, and I went to the drugstore, and the drugstore had medicine in it. If you could call it a drugstore, it was a lean-to. And they had a bottle of Tylenol about this big.
Wow.
Probably had 500 tablets in it. And it was out of date by 3 years.
Yeah. That's
all right. Pills laying in the bottom.
5 years.
And so when I brought him to the United States, brought him back up to the United States, and he hung out with me for a few days, I took him to what I think was Costco Costco. And we went into Costco, and he stood in the middle of the place and just bawled like a baby. And through the interpreter, he said, I can't believe that you have so many choices.
Yeah.
Yeah. I took him down the drug aisle, and there was, you know, just every kind of drug, every kind of bread, every kind of... He walked down the aisles, and he just touched everything. He couldn't believe it. The God that we pray to has no lack.
Right.
When we go to our own resources, we have all kinds of lack. If we allow ourselves such doubt, unbelief, and hurt, and pain, and anxiety, and all sorts of things, that the enemy is more than happy to supply for us.
Yeah.
But when we go to God, he's got all provision. It's already there. Come on, son.
Yeah.
It changes our perspective. We go from prayer, our focus is not on our need, it's on his provision. Watch what the prayer says. Now, thinking about that, watch what the prayer says. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Right.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The focus is now on him. See?
Yeah.
Whatever problem we're having, the focus is now on him. God, you're glorious, you're righteous, you're holy. To you belongs all praise. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Come on. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Those are declarations. Those aren't needs or anxiety. We're casting our focus now on him. Come on. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Forever.
See, it starts with the focus and ends with the focus. Everything else is taken care of. He says, I'll take care of it. So we go into the season of Thanksgiving. We had everybody write, we're going to put a little clause of everybody thanking with the meal and the things we're thankful for. So much more. Our list should be exhaustive. Just think about, I challenge you, next time you're in devotional time, just take a blank sheet of paper and start thanking God for all of the things he's given. I guarantee you, You better take some time off. It's going to take you a long time. But he's provided for us. Come on, son.
Amen.
We are so blessed.
Yes.
We are so blessed, his provision for us. The fact that he allowed us to live this long.
Amen.
Oh, it's
amazing.
Life in us, the next breath in us. I'm thankful for it all. He supplies for us. Father, I thank you, God, for your great graciousness in our lives. I thank you, God, that you put up with us. I thank you, God, that you already know our every need. I thank you, God, that you provide for us our every need. I thank you, God, that there's not one prayer in this room tonight that you're not ready to answer. We're your children, God. And as your children, and as kings and priests in your kingdom, we declare the things that are not as though they were.
Yes.
God, we're the head and not the tail. We're above and never beneath. God, we have everything that we need for life and godliness. God, we thank you for your immense provision. We're passionate about who you are, God,
yes, and
about what you do.
Yes.
Father, we thank you that you who began a good work will complete it. You said you'd build your church and the gates of hell would not prevail against
it. Yes. Thank
God,
you.
God, we look at every problem as a step up in your direction. God, you overcome the enemy at every turn.
Yes.
You put to flight the enemy. You gave us authority to put to flight the enemy.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you that he is under our feet. He's a defeated foe. And God, to the extent that we've listened to him at all, forgive us. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit says to us in this hour.
Yes.
God, we're so thankful. We're so thankful for all you do and who you are. We give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name. I preach back. Come on, what's the Spirit of God saying to you about Thanksgiving?